We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
I pray that you are having a fantastic Friday here in Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. By the way, we have switched our days off at the church. My office manager, there were some changes in her husband's work schedule, and so it worked out better for her, and it works out better for me that where Fridays are off. And so if you are trying to get a hold of us today, by the way, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but if this radio program is a blessing to you and you'd like to partner with us, we mention on the air, you know, pretty frequently about the four different sponsors that we have, business people in our church that help us out a little bit with our radio broadcast. But if it's been a blessing to you and you'd like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by reaching us at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You could mail a donation to that. Just make it out to Merritt Assembly of God. If you wanted to, you could go on to our website. Our website, merittassembly.com, it actually has a giving option on the website there, whether you reach it via the mobile app or the desktop version as well. And so if, and then, you know, another way is if you decided that you wanted to visit our church, we would love to have you. By the way, we are having a men's breakfast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. And, I love Saturday morning breakfast. It is one of my favorite meals during the day, or during the week. And, so guys, if you are able to come and be a part of that, we'd love to have you join us. So we do want to give a shout out one more time to, Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, 759-3284. If you, need help with your air conditioning, in the central Brevard County area, 759-3284. That's Bill Andriac. He and his wife are blessings to our church. If you need concrete work done, you can reach Jits Concrete. Ask for Greg there, 536-5804. On Tuesday nights, we have a free video Bible school that takes place at our church, Advanced Christian Training Schools, 633-0432. You can reach Ted and Linda Empsom. And then if you need help with your air, heat, or electrical, I know that Dennis and Carla, they can be a help to you there. He goes down as far as Melbourne and Palm Bay, and I don't really know the full extent of the range that he has, but I do know that it is quite extensive. And so if you need some help in any of those areas, you can call us, leave a message. We do return our phone calls to the best of our ability. So we want to just make you aware of their services. But if you'd like to be a part of the program or just send us a word of encouragement, you could call us at 454-4263 and leave us a message on the answering machine. We greatly appreciate the feedback. So yesterday we talked about the aspect of getting beyond just the give me portion of give us this day our daily bread, to how does, or what does the process look like? What does the process look like? Sometimes God gives us this day our daily bread. There's supernatural provision, like the manna in the wilderness. Sometimes there's supernatural provision where he takes our supplies and he supernaturally blesses it and distributes it the way that the widow in Zarephath did, or the way that he did when he fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000. The ultimate fulfillment of that prayer is the fact that God has given us Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. A little bit, this is in John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. He says that twice. And then he goes on and he says, I am the living bread. I am the living bread. And I'm so thankful that he is resurrected, because that means he's still the bread that's living even right now. And today, you do not have to starve. One of the things I shared on one broadcast, I don't remember which broadcast it was, but it made an impact on me when God spoke it into my spirit, is that, people choose to starve while living in a sea of bread. In an abundant supply of food, they choose starvation instead. And I don't want that to be you and I. Yesterday, we started talking about that one of the ways that God does that is he gives us an assignment. He gives us a job to do. He plants a desire in our heart, and then he gives us success in accomplishing that task. I love the verse, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, that God will give you success at whatever you put your hand to. I also love the verse that says, in everything that you do, give glory to God. So whenever I see football players that are testifying, I just want to thank God for helping me today to make that play. There are some people that get really offended at that, and I've just never understood that. Some people minimize it and say, well, so God likes, I'll just pick on my team. So does God like Clemson more than he likes the University of Oklahoma? Did he like the Seattle Seahawks more than he liked my Green Bay Packers? That's not the point. That's not the point of that at all. The point is, as a child of God, I want to do the best at my job that I can. And when I'm successful at it, I want God to be the one that receives all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And with that being said, as far as a football note, I couldn't care less as to who wins the Super Bowl Sunday night. But of the two teams, I'm not even going to waste my time watching it. It's just not worth it for me. I'll find something else to do. But sour grapes, maybe just a little bit. But I don't like Seattle and I don't like New England. So, judge me if you want. Today, I want to touch a little bit more on the fact that God is the one who gives us success. God is the one who makes us prosper. And so I want to take you today to the 39th chapter of Genesis, And I'm going to read a verse, and then we're going to get into some discussion on this verse. Genesis, the 39th chapter, the first verse says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper or to succeed in his hand. Okay, look at that. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So today, I want to start off the discussion a little bit by asking you this. What does success look like to you? What does success look like to you? Do you have to have a certain position or have a certain amount of power to be successful? Because if that's the case, then Joseph could not have been possibly have been successful, because he was actually treated as someone's property, not as someone who had a position or a title. He was just property. He was a slave who had been bought at auction. And so what does success look like? The world looks at success as if it is power, if it's authority. If I have authority, if I have power, then I am successful. I want you to know that that is not a very good definition. Because if someone has given you power and authority today, they could come and take that authority and that power away from you tomorrow. You know, I believe it was Tom Landry. I could be mistaken on this quote. He, great coach for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day. And he said, there are only two types of coaches in the NFL, those who have been fired and those who will be fired. And so his determination of success was not based upon his position as the head coach. My position or my view of success is I'm not my success is not going to be on my power as a pastor, the position that I have there. So some people are, you know, especially in the realm of politics, my goodness. If you have power, then you deemed yourself very successful. Well, if we are going to view that definition of being success, then every bully is a success story. The mafia is a success story. Drug gangs and cartels are success stories because they wield tremendous power. But I don't believe that you and I would call that success. Another way that our society tends to define success is if you have a certain position, if you have reached the level of class president, if you've received this accolade. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. My wife and daughter, we were sitting there one night and, you know, we normally, by the time we get done eating dinner, it's just about time for Jeopardy to come on. And my wife loves to watch Jeopardy. And then we switch it over to one of the Christian stations. And I love to hear T.D. Jakes preach. And T.D. Jakes comes on at least Monday through Thursday. I don't get to see it on Wednesday night. I'm in church. But at 7:30, his broadcast is on. And so we sat there and watched that. And then we started flipping through the channels and, we came upon this, this program called The Taste. And it's one of these cooking, programs. And I've watched several of them. I've watched, you know, Cutthroat Kitchen. I do not watch, Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. I don't watch that program. Iron Chef, I've watched that program. And in each one of those programs, what they had people chasing, the contestants chasing, was they were all chasing the approval of somebody else's taste buds. And if they achieved the position of Top Chef or Iron Chef or whatever it might be, if they could just get that position, then they deemed it a success. And if they didn't achieve it, they deemed it a failure. And so I think back to something that my sixth grade teacher had to say when we were getting ready to leave our elementary school as sixth graders. He said, guys, he said, this year you have been big fish in a little pond. And next year you are going to be little fish in a big pond. So behave yourself this year like you want to be treated next year. And the truth of the matter is, no matter whether it's in athletics, whether it's in politics, whether it's in the corporate world, whatever it might be, there's always going to be a bigger pond. There's always going to be a bigger pond. You say, well, what could be bigger than, you know, being the president of the United States of America, one day having to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's a pretty ominous pond. And so position. Some people think if you just reach this, you've reached your level of success. You know what I think of whenever I think of position? I remember the first job that I ever had. You know, I remember getting hired as a cook at 15, or not a cook. I got hired as a dishwasher at a truck stop at the age of 15. Before that, I had been I'd thrown papers at the age of 12. At 16, I got a job as a bagger at the local grocery store and became a cashier and moved around and some of that. I ended up working in retail. And in each one of those, I was just so thankful that they gave me the position. And then, you know, what tends to happen is the position begins to lose some of its luster. And then all of a sudden we forget to be grateful. I'm going to get to the Word of God here in just a minute. I'm just setting the stage for you here about a biblical God-given definition of success. John Maxwell says this about positional leadership or positional success, and that is that if the only way that you can get people to do what you want them to do is because you say, because I hold this position, he says that is the lowest level of leadership that there is. Because you hold the power of the pen and if you don't do what I say, then I'm going to fire you. That's the lowest level of leadership. And so that's really not a success story because your position can change. Some people define success as the possessions that they have. I remember a friend of mine recounting a conversation where somebody had told him at one point in time, he said, this is what success looks like. It looks like the clothes that you wear. It looks like the house that you live in. It looks like the car that you drive. That's what success looks like. And we were just having a discussion and I simply responded, you know, to me, you know, I don't know the circumstances or anything, but to me, that's what debt looks like. You know, if you're going out and buying clothes that you can't afford, that's not success. That's future failure. If you are living in a house that is beyond your means, that's not success. You are getting ready to find yourself strapped for cash. Possessions. I remember at a certain point in time, there was a story done on a pawn shop out in California, out near Hollywood, and it catered to Hollywood celebrities, where people could pull their car into the pawn shop or something like that. It was like a drive-up pawn shop to the stars where people wouldn't actually know if they were falling on hard times because they were now having to pawn their goods at the pawn shop. I want you to know possessions, everything that you have is going to end up in the dump or destroyed or rusting away at some point in time. Possessions are not necessarily indicative of success. And even in the church world, possessions do not indicate success. My particular definition of success is making the most out of the situation that God has given me this day to deal with. Today, on this Friday, God has given you and me unique opportunities, and we need to work while it is day to make today a success for Jesus. Give us today, on this Friday, give us today our daily bread, our assignment that is going to build the kingdom of God. I believe that you will soon discover that having something to do is more satisfying than not having anything to do. Some people just work all their life with the delusion that once they get to the point where they are financially set, they're going to retire, and then they're going to be on easy street for the rest of their life. If you're retired, I want to speak into your life today. That just means that God has given you more time that you can serve Him and accomplish great things. It still doesn't mean that today you're just going to lounge around and you know, become a prune by the pool. It means, I don't know where that analogy came from. I'm sorry if that, you know, you're not just there to sit there and soak up the rays on the beach, but God's given you time to serve him the way that we always said we would serve him if we had the time to do it, but we were just too busy. Genesis chapter 39, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And it says it again in verse number 3. First of all, let me say, that is success. When you realize that the omnipresence of God is actually now customized to the personalized presence of God in your life, I'm telling you, when God has chosen to hang around you and abide in your heart and be the Lord of your life, that is success. Not just temporary success, that is eternal success. But there's an even greater definition. I literally, before I came into the studio, I was reliving. I was like, God, I know that I've studied this in the past, and I don't know exactly where the definition was, but I went back and I saw the Hebrew definition of what was translated success in the New International Version, and it's translated to prosper here in the New King James Version of verse number 3. And I'd seen it, and I'd never forgotten it. I'd never forgotten it. And it says here in verse number, let me go back to verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Okay, guys, let's choose to be successful. One of the things that I have set as a parameter in my life is this: God, if fame, if, you know, if anything like that, if in order to be effective in the eyes of men, it has to come at the expense of my marriage or my family, God, I'm not interested, because that's not success. That's not success. I want to be successful as a man by being faithful to my God and faithful to my wife and faithful to my kids and faithful to my church in being a servant that does not bring disgrace upon the God who gave me the assignment. And it says, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian, of his master, the Egyptian. Verse number 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. And I pray that you and I, that what people will notice about you at work today, I pray that you won't have to tell people that the Lord is with you, but that people will notice that the Lord is with you. That you won't have to say, look at what a success I am, but instead people will notice that God is making you successful. Verse number 3, and this is what his master saw. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he, Joseph, did to prosper in his hand. Okay? People take notice that God makes you prosper. Give us this day our daily bread. God, make us prosper today, so that our bosses take notice. Because that's what this was. This was if we were to translate this into a modern vernacular, this is an employer versus an employee situation, and the boss noticed the presence of God in the employee's life. I pray that your boss knows that you have spent time with Jesus. I pray that the boss knows that God is making you successful. I love my wife. I love my wife's heart for ministry. The thing that I fell in love with was her zeal for the Lord. Very early in, when she first received the appointment to the position that she has, she says, God, I don't know how to do this job, and so I need you to make me successful. I need you to help me to do my job. And so And he has. He's helped her to be very, very successful. She is very, very good at what she does. But that word, and the Lord made all he did to prosper, it, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, the definition of that word, and remember, it was translated success in the NIV, it meant that God was pushing him forward, that God was pushing the assignments forward, that God was the reason for the movement, and it was not a decrease, it was an increase. Joseph is a great early indicator that you can be sold into captivity and yet still increase because God is pushing you forward. We see that again in Jeremiah chapter 29, where Jeremiah, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, is saying, speak to those in captivity and say, increase there, do not decrease. I am going to push you forward. Today, as you and I are getting ready to launch into this weekend, I pray that it will be this prayer. God, give us this day our daily bread. Push us forward with your presence in our life. Go with us. Make us successful in what we do. God, may you push us forward to the point that unbelievers, non-believers, see that they're the only way that that could be accomplished, the only way that Bob could have done that job, the only way that you could have done your job, if God was pushing you forward. More times than not in this life, I believe that instead of just a freebie or a handout, God is going to give us the wisdom, the strength, the resources, and the partners to accomplish something that is going to meet our needs. Today, I just want to speak to you and say, God said, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you're a pastor out there, I want you to know that it's not by your might, not by your strength, but it's by God's Spirit. God will push you. He will push us forward. He is pushing Merit Assembly of God forward to be successful according to his standards. Father, I just pray right now for every man and woman that is listening to this radio program. God, some of them may be very frustrated because they've met with a lack of success up to this point. God, today I pray that your presence would come in and that you would bring peace that passes understanding. God, that today they would know that you are with them each and every day. Give them today their daily bread. Push them forward. Meet the needs that they have. Make them successful at their jobs, successful in their marriages, successful in their raising of their children. God, push us forward for your glory. In Jesus' name, we'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And
Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I wanna love.